Hey guys.
Hello.
I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
And you're listening to
The Night Owl.
So we wanted to say hello to you guys. It is February 19th, 2021. I'm getting more used to saying that now. And our little cat Wednesday is meowing, just so you guys know.
Too.
Yeah, she wants more treats. We've run out of wet cat food. Sometimes we mix this wet cat food with her dry food, and we've just been giving her like chicken and stuff, and so she's just kind of like, I know it's not the same.
She's been spoiled, and she's been very needy and demanding, and we've not satisfied that need today.
And I told her, I said, you know, there are kitties out there that, especially with this, all this snow and ice, I mean, we've seen some cats around our neighborhood that, you know, that are stray or feral. And I told her, I said, you're lucky you're inside and you're safe and warm. And she doesn't get that because she doesn't care.
To endure a winter outside like that. She was scooped up and rescued before she ever had a chance to have a Chicago
winter.
Why don't you tell
everybody like what her story was, like how long we've had Wednesday. She's a sibling of two other cats that Matthew had rescued.
I adopted or took them in. I decided that I would like to be in their presence. Wednesday was a little female cat, and then I took in another cat from that same litter, a little male cat, and there were a total of four, and they had been rescued from the west side. Somewhere over there from somebody that knew kind of the cat that had given birth, and it didn't look like they were being taken care of real well, and didn't look like maybe the birth mother was being able to take care of them, as they were pretty malnourished and flea ridden, and
they were about 3 weeks old.
Yeah, they were about 3 weeks old, so they were real little and probably really too young to be kind of handled, but they weren't doing well. We took them in, and
you took them in, you and your friend, right?
Yeah. And we cleaned them up
before I met Matthew.
Took them to a vet the next day, and
you've had them for 3 years, and then I came along.
And then, had them about 2 years or so until you came along, and it did take less than probably 2 seconds before, Wednesday said, you're my mom.
Yeah, she's Matthew's daughter, but she's my familiar. And if you guys don't know what a familiar is, it's an animal. Doesn't have to be a cat, but it's an animal that always wants to be around you and senses your energy. And you have this weird, bond with them that is more than just having a pet or a creature in your home. It's like you're connected by your soul. You're bound together. And that's how I feel with Wednesday. Even when we had two other cats, I just felt like that with her. She's always around, and she never wants to be in a different room. She always wants to be with us.
No, I've been around animals, especially cats, and it's a unique thing to, I think, see, especially that relationship that she has, and that little personality, and they meld together, and cool.
So if you guys have any stories, you can always email us about your stories with any pets in your life when you were a kid or now. But moving on to that, I did want to talk about the weather and the snow and how it's impacted Chicago and other states that always deal with snow. I know Texas has had some snowfall. Sometimes Florida gets snow. But, I mean, they said that it's been a record 9 days of continuous snow. It's the only difference now is that it's getting warmer. We had this really cold snap for about a week, maybe over a week, where the snow wasn't going anywhere.
I know we've had snow in past winters. You know, I can remember it wasn't about a year or two ago where we had a stretch where it just seemed like every other day we got like 1 to 3 inches, but it would melt, you know, kind of some of it wouldn't accumulate. At one point I would say we definitely have at least well over 3 feet of snow that's accumulated and still on the ground. And
some people just chosen not to drive their cars, which
and they're still safe. Piled up. Yeah. And today, driving back, I could see that even in the city, they had end loaders and they were really, yeah, I mean, they were scooping and moving snow. I mean, there's mm-hmm. really no place for it to go, but for it to be physically removed. And
yeah. And actually our back patio area, we live in a multi-unit home or apartment. So I think there's about maybe 100 units in this building. So it's a really big courtyard. It's almost like a U-shaped building. So we have the front courtyard, which is, I think, pretty well maintained as far as like shoveling and everything. But the back area, all of our porches like face each other. And Matt and I's porch, our porch is like in this area of the building where it doesn't really get a lot of snow or rain. Like we do have a lot of snow, but we don't have any icicles. And all the other porches are like coming off the sides of the building. So they kind of come off the side and they share a stairwell, whereas ours is just a one long porch. And then there's a one above us and one below us.
It's ice city back there.
It's ice city. Icicles are huge now. They've multiplied.
Superman, secret layer.
It's basically an ice cave, like on like across from us, and it's actually on the cable wires. And I mean, the icicles are like no joke. Like this big around.
It's pretty impressive to see, but at the same time, it's also very dangerous.
Yeah,
hence why property management has.
They've just told us to avoid it.
Given us the please do not go back there.
Yeah. I mean, it came to the point where like they were really small icicles and then it was icy. And I'm like, okay, can you guys just at least salt? Because we have to go back there to throw trash out. But everyone's just kind of complying and going out the front now.
Yeah, there's not enough salt.
They put caution tape up now. I mean
it's too much.
Yeah. I'll share photos of it in this video so you guys can see at least ours. And then I've been seeing people share their icicle pictures and snow pictures. So to keep from feeling alone, you guys can share your icicle photos. I mean, people were like, oh, these are my icicles. Can you guys one up me? Can you guys show me your nightmare? And it's becoming a trend now, like kind of, at least with my Chicago friends, like showing all these icicles everywhere. Like I remember even last week I had the car washed and then within minutes I drove it home and there were icicles on the bottom of the car already just from driving in 8-degree weather.
I mean, seeing some of the pictures from the people that have walked along the lakefront, I mean, some of those ice formations
there,
I mean, are just
they're
wicked
huge.
And huge.
They used to be. Remember there was one year where they were round? They were like these big round. It wasn't on Chicago. Part of Lake Michigan, but like the Michigan side, there were these huge mounds of ice that were in the lake. They were being formed. It was like 3 or 4 years ago.
Now it's just sheets
of ice. They moved
and
the
now
waves.
Some of it even kind of melted, which was nice today.
We don't really have to worry so much about the cold. Hopefully now when it gets into the late 20s and 30s, it'll start melting, because the reason why we had so much snow and it wasn't going away was because it just snowed and then it froze and it stayed, and then it was like being in an ice locker. It was just, but now we can be happy for sunnier skies. I mean, I've been seeing the sun come out, really bright sun, really, you know, clear skies. So hopefully we'll start to come out of it. But I wanted to talk to you guys about if you have to use your car. Most people are not really using their cars right now because of the snow, and if you're able to work from home and you live in the city, at least here in the city you can walk somewhere, you can take an Uber, you could take the bus. So people are just avoiding it altogether, and I've seen this happen. I've even living in a short time in a neighborhood, I know what cars, you know, go with what neighbors, or you know what cars are gone more. And some of those cars that I've seen just a couple hours of the day, they're there all day and they're just buried in snow. So if you guys really have to do this, they're just saying that the snow won't cause too much damage on your car, but you should definitely know some of these things before digging it out. So it says it's not going to do any damage that's not already there. There's this manager from Ashland Tire and Auto. This is in Chicago. Jack Gordon, he said that heaps of snow covering your car won't cause permanent damage, but can still keep you from driving away from your parking spot quicker than you'd like. And side note, I've been seeing people doing dibs, which not around by us, but the dibs were coming
they're
out.
There. Yeah. Oh, no, they are there in full force. I would say they're throughout the city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they said the couple of things, Jack says that a couple of things that probably are going to be a problem is the battery is probably going to be dead when you get it out of there. The brakes are probably going to be very rusty. But if you can't even get your car to the garage, the alleyway behind Carol Norris' home in Chicago's Lakeview neighborhood was completely impassable. A nightmare is a good word for it, for sure, she said. It's just pure ice, and as you can see, there's really nowhere to put the snow. The city streets and sanitation department say plowing alleys ways is not a safe option, but there's a plan to make sure vehicles can get through. We do not plow alleyways, which makes it difficult, I know, the commissioner of Chicago's Department of Streets and Sanitation said. What we will do is start tracking these alleys with our refuse trucks. If you start plowing in alleyways, you end up collapsing garage doors because there's nowhere for that snow to go. But with the main roads and residential streets still impacted, trash collection and alleyway tracking will just have to wait a little bit longer. And this came out like a few days ago, which I did notice that our garbage wasn't taken last week. People were kind of just throwing stuff like next to them.
No, they're struggling.
Yeah, yeah. All the alleys I've noticed are struggling. Not.
The alleys, a lot of them.
They
are
have
bad.
Not been plowed, and I get it because there's people that have homes that you know they have their garages that are backed up against the alleys.
Well, and I will say this: what I've seen in some of the alleys around here, because there are a number of people that have, I would say, no removal type scoops, which they are not supposed to. But I would say somebody has been plowing some of the alleys around here. Otherwise, you're right. Snow was stacked up like 2-3 inches. I mean, it was impassable.
We
talked about that the other time.
And I'm not really upset about the trash pickup because I can't complain about that because it's almost impossible to do that without damaging.
Yeah, homes. I mean, unless you've got a truck, SUV type vehicle or something that sits pretty high up off the ground.
Yeah.
If it's a pretty low riding vehicle, there are a lot of these streets, even side streets.
The snow is higher than your bumper.
You are not. I mean, this has been one of the worst years I think I've seen for as nabbing the bumpers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the number of pieces of bumpers and side bumpers everywhere.
Yeah.
Even worse than the potholes, which they're going to start to come too. I mean, that's going to come after all the melting.
Yeah, I mean, every type of snow that we've had was like a different type of snow. Like, first we had the really slushy snow, then we had the packing snow, and then we had the like dusting snow, and then now we have the icy snow. So it was kind of different. Every time it snowed here, it was a different type of snow, and then it would just freeze and like meld together. And so the first time it snowed really bad here, people were trying to drive in it that day, and we just saw people struggling to get out and like drive. And I'm like, and this was before even just the main roads were plowed. It was like side streets. I mean, just regular side streets weren't plowed yet because you can't really plow when it's still snowing. I mean, most people that are doing that and are shoveling are doing it at like 10 at night or like when there's not a lot of traffic. So I would say if your car is buried in snow and you have to dig it out, I will put the link in there. You can find out ways to do it, but just be looking out for your brakes and your gas and, you know, just the internal things.
Yeah, I mean, because we've had a significant, there's some of those cars that I see, they are quite buried. And if they don't move for another week or two, I would agree there could be impacts. I mean, and eventually that kind of much snow melting on top and
especially
not having moved.
Yeah, and you better hope you have a full tank of gas because even when we had a full tank of gas when it was cold, this is more for the cold, I guess, the car wasn't starting. So I would say wait for the snow to melt a little bit more and maybe slowly start to dig it out. And definitely look at streets and sanitation in your neighborhood and see what you can do as far as digging your car out, if it's a really much needed thing. Other than that, if you live in the city, just try and keep, you know, taking public transportation, because those buses are, you know, they're prepared for that kind of stuff. But I just thought it was interesting because it's been a record, like I think from 200 years ago or 100 years ago, 100 years ago, that it was this bad. It was like 1888 or something, where it was this much snow. And of course, you know, just trying to keep safe. And if you really have to get somewhere, like if you live in the city, just try and carpool or try and take public transportation. But I just think it's crazy when you see people's cars buried in the snow like that. The smart people had their windshield wipers up. We didn't do that.
Yeah, that's only half the battle too. I mean, I've noticed around here, I mean, some people did an excellent job moving in snow and clearing a space. Whereas mm-hmm. I can see like this little bit down our street, I tried to park there. I mean, there's still this much snow because nobody cleared it off.
They just drove out of it. Yeah. So like, be mindful of others when you do that. You know that it's not your space. It doesn't have your name on it. Do not do the dib thing. That is really rude. I think it's rude. Everyone has to kind of look out for each other.
The rules. Yeah. Don't touch it, man.
Yeah. Unless it's a paid spot. Then don't do that, because people really need to use that space.
It would be appreciated if you did not do that. It would be appreciated if those of us that are scooping, scoop the snow out of the road. Don't scoop it into the snow, into the road. Don't make big piles in the road. That's what's kind of frustrating on Farwell. There are multiple people that made these massive piles right there in the street. And it's like, oh, now there's extra spaces that are blocked because you scooped the snow the wrong way.
Yeah. And also, if you're gonna drive your car, please like take the snow off of it, because we've seen people driving their car with just, when they didn't knock any of the snow off, they just drove with the snow on their car. It's like, if you're driving, that snow comes off and it goes into people's spaces. It's very distracting and it's not safe. So like, driving is a privilege, guys. It's a privilege. It's not a right. If I could fly, I would do it. If I could just literally have put a jetpack on, I would just fly everywhere. If I could be like Captain America, I would do it. I could fly like her. You wouldn't need a car.
Yeah, just take off.
Yeah, you wouldn't need it. Or you could reverse the snow and it would never snow. That'd be amazing. But yeah, so how have you been doing? I know you just came back from North Dakota. How was your trip out there? You went there for work.
Yeah, I mean, it was cold, and then, like I said, driving, it snowed and things like that.
Was it more snow here or more snow there?
No, more snow here. We have a lot more snow.
Yikes.
A lot colder, but a lot more snow here.
We've
been dumped on with that lake effect snow, and then kind of follow the Great Lakes. They've had a lot of snow, so.
Hmm.
No, pretty much snow in some places that haven't seen snow in 100 years, and snow falls that haven't been seen in 100 years. And
well, that takes me to Texas, because you said that there's snow in Texas. We did want to talk about one political figure. We don't normally, like I said, we haven't been trying to talk about politics.
Yeah, but if you haven't been following along, you know, the state right now of Texas is in a world of hurt. They've been without power. They've been mm-hmm. without water. I mean, in all seriousness, people have lost lives. They have an infrastructure that was not built for it, let alone the homes. If you've ever been to Texas, if you know somebody that lives in Texas, you know, the north part of Texas can get cold and see snows, but down where Houston is, those homes are not built for the kind of winter that they are getting, the kind of winter that we see. So because of that, those homes are designed to be so much cooler. They are really cold.
Yeah.
And people just don't have it. I mean, think about that. I mean, we have lots of blankets because now we know it's going to get cold.
Even if the power was out here, it would still suck.
But
we're insulated.
Sleeping in their cars down there because they keep the heat on because there's no power.
And then you're keeping
your
battery on.
The pipes are frozen. I mean, the kind of things that have happened there. I mean, people are in real peril. And then, of course, there's Texas and the elected officials.
Mm-hmm.
So the governor, he's weak. He's had to walk back, I don't know how many times, his own statement, because he tried to blame, I don't know, the Green New Deal. He tried to blame anybody, but he still hasn't accepted any responsibility. He just keeps pointing the finger at somebody else.
Well, people want him to resign. This is Teddy Cruz, you guys.
Now, if you don't know who Teddy is, right, he is a senator from Texas. He is somebody who, back in 2016, vehemently opposed, I would say, then candidate Trump, only he himself walked back those words and then quickly became a staunch proponent of the 45th.
Mm-hmm. This is the Houston Chronicle.
What did Sweaty Teddy do when Texas is in peril?
Well, this is actually, I've been noticing a lot of articles like lately, but this is the most recent one. It's from today. Yeah, this morning actually. And it's from the HuffPost, which I do like the HuffPost. It says that the Houston Chronicle editorial board called Senator Ted Cruz to resign over his Cancun debacle in a blistering editorial on Friday. The home state newspaper described Cruz's vacation during Texas weather crisis as foolish, callous, and sadly telling of his approach to the job over the past 8 years. Texans' anger with Ted Cruz right now could power an entire electrical grid. The board said of the senator's getaway this week in Mexico with his family as Texans suffered water shortages. Cruz returned to Texas Thursday amid growing fury. So he only returned because people were pissed. He didn't thing to say, hey, I should not go on this trip, which I've been on with my family.
There's all kinds of video of him. I have heard sound bites of him, you know, stating almost to the effect, kind of paraphrasing, you know, I knew it was wrong as soon as I sat down in the plane. I mean, get out of here.
You freaking bought your tickets and left knowing that
he laid claim that it was spontaneous, that his two daughters came to him, and that because school had been canceled, that couldn't they just get away to someplace warm?
See, I saw the opposite. I saw that he had planned.
Oh, no. He has, because then he tried to say that he just was going to escort them down there. He never had planned to stay.
And he got on the plane.
But there's all this kind of social media chatter with his wife. That would maybe lead you to believe otherwise.
Okay, well, either way, let's say that he did plan it, and it was, or if it was spontaneous, either way, that's still shitty.
He is an elected official. He is one of the highest elected officials in that state at a time when they need leaders. Mm-hmm. And what is he doing?
And he's growing his hair out for some reason. His hair is like longer. He looks odd to me. Like he looks like he's been not sleeping.
Yes, we all get it. He looks like a villain in a Pixar movie.
Who keeps saying that? Do you keep saying that?
No, he looks like he looks like the villain from Shrek, right?
Oh, the prince, that prince or whatever.
Lord Farquaad.
Yeah. Because the crisis is the handiwork of state officials, not federal, the editorial said. But we expect leadership and perhaps a little solidarity from a man whose re-election campaign heavily rested on claims of his compassion and advocacy for suffering Texans after the Hurricane Harvey. Remember that? Remember when he was all like gung-ho about that and trying to help Texas from Hurricane Harvey? That was another disaster too. That wiped out a lot of, people did die during that time too. The editorial board only last month called for Cruz's resignation for stoking the violent mob of pro-Donald Trump supporters who stormed the U.S. Capitol.
Oh, no, because he has bought into that lie. He was willing to go to the Supreme Court and rule in favor or believe whatever the 45th believed. Can you believe this
guy? And Donald Trump Jr. he's defending Ted. He's defending
him. This is all on this has been out here, I think, here for a day or so, right, since he's had to come back. And, you know, there are people currently protesting in front of his home down in Texas asking him to resign, correct?
Yeah.
This is all on a day when I think it came out here in the news that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from New mm-hmm. York mm-hmm. went out and raised something like $2 million mm-hmm. for the state of Texas
mm-hmm.
for their release.
Well, she's a hero. I mean, come on.
And then there were still people trying to, whatever.
I mean, and the fact that, like,
but that's what I mean. That's what elected people, officials should do. I mean, we elect them; they are there to serve us, to help us.
Yeah, you don't go on a Cancun vacation. I'm sorry. And even if it wasn't this weather and power issue in Texas, there's still COVID. There's still a pandemic. So even if they were vaccinated, which I don't know if they were, if it's, I mean, his kids definitely weren't. They haven't made a pediatric vaccine
yet.
You're still spreading COVID.
Is he a bigger dirtball, or is Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, a bigger dirtball?
I don't know who he is.
The governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis.
I think all Florida is probably.
Who recently here? It's been known that he skewed like 3,000 of these vaccines to a very wealthy, wealthy part of the county, Florida.
Yeah, you don't do that. The vaccines
and then,
go
and then when they
people.
Called him out on it, he threatened to take vaccines away from people.
What?
Yeah.
I mean,
then on top of it, it wasn't just a well-to-do effluent part of this one county in Florida. It turns out there were major donors of his in that neighborhood. Yeah, he's being investigated right now.
It says, take our advice, Senator, and resign. The editorial concluded, seems like you could use a break, and we could too, from an infective politician who, even in crisis, puts his personal itinerary before the needs of before the needs of Texans. And like, I didn't know that he had involvement with the Capitol. I do know that more people are getting charged and arrested. They're still doing that.
And now they have, looks like they are investigating Capitol Police that were involved.
Yeah, you know, like it's still ongoing.
There were videos that came out within, even shortly thereafter, within hours, and definitely within the following days, that showed there may have been law enforcement officials involved with helping the rioters gain that access. Because as some of their coworkers have stated, they were so surprised with how swiftly that group and how many of them got where they got.
I mean, the fact of the matter is, I'm glad that they're investigating people who were like helping plan it, like the higher up, the higher planning.
Yeah, you know, we've mentioned
not just
some
people
of the,
who were there storming,
but the militia groups. But they indicted, I think, six more or arrested six more from one of those groups that was involved.
Nine. Now it's nine.
Now it's up to nine.
Yeah, now it's nine. They're still doing more. I mean, it's still don't worry about if, because I've seen people on Facebook like, what, you know, is it people are forgetting this now, or like, is it still going to be? And I'm like, no, like, it's still going on. It's not something to be ignored. It's not going to be swept under the rug. And, you know, obviously with Donald Trump, all he's doing is complaining about what kind of steak he had. I mean, and his.
Oh, I saw that where it came out that he had complained during some dinner where apparently somebody had a bigger steak.
Yeah, than him.
Had.
Who?
Melania.
You're complaining about your steak size?
Sent back this like $65 plate because it had chives and something else on it.
Wow, privilege is amazing, right? Privilege. Did you have anything you wanted to talk about?
No, I was just kind of adding
piggybacking on me
to some of that.
Well, Rush Limbaugh is dead.
I did see that.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I heard something that I found.
So we have a win on that one.
Some interesting news that I was not aware of. I know you have seen the movie Right Forgetting Sarah Marshall, mm-hmm. and then the kind of the spinoff to that, right? Get him to the Greek.
Get
him to the Greek there.
Yeah, with Russell Brand.
With
he's
Russell
in both of those.
Brand as the Alden Snow character.
Mm-hmm. And Jonah Hill. I love me some Jonah Hill.
I came across information that he was not the original Alden Snow.
So there's a real Alden Snow?
No,
they weren't going to cast him.
They had tapped another actor for that, and that actor actually turned it down.
Was he British too?
No.
Okay, so he's American, or?
And the actor has said in an interview, I mean, he thinks they clearly picked the right person.
So he's happy about it.
Yeah,
but
as he goes on in the interview to state that he wasn't in a place, mentally and with his career that he wanted to take on a role like
that. Well, that's good. I mean, he didn't take too much on, and that probably would have.
He's also the same person that turned down 50 Shades of Grey as well.
Oh, well, that movie's terrible, so that's fine.
Yeah, that I was think the he's book. Doing all right.
Old yeah, Charlie, I think he has a good sense of what he wants, and that's
you know,
good.
It's Charlie Hunnan, or Hunnan? Hunnan?
Hunnan?
Hunnan?
Hunnan, yeah.
From Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, that's who I, found I think he picked a good. Being on TV, I think, is a totally different genre and a totally different world than being in a movie.
Yeah, and he's also in a pretty good soccer movie too.
You're not put on a shelf eventually.
Yeah,
when you're in a show, you can have a show that goes to 10 seasons. And for movies, I mean, I think Forgetting Sarah Marshall is now, to me, considered a classic. I mean, it is. I mean, in 10 years, it'll be considered a classic because it came out in 2013, maybe even earlier. And that was when I started really enjoying seeing Jason Segel. I mean, that was like the year of Jason Segel. He was in that movie. And he was a couple other movies that were like rom-coms and stuff. And
yeah,
I mean, it was a really good, it was a really good thing.
Good movie,
and Kristen Bell, I mean, she's really had a good career too. She was actually in The Good Place in a TV show called The Good Place. And Dax Shepard, I mean, he was in a show, her husband. And so I think that being on TV is a little different than being in a movie. But I've never seen Sons of Anarchy. Matthew's watched it. I thought you said that there was like a spinoff of that, like the cartel version or like
no,
another
they did
game.
The Mayans.
Oh, the Mayans. Was that like, biker. Were they in Sons of Anarchy?
Yeah, yes and no.
Were they like featured in it in an episode?
This is just going to be, no, they're going to be another biker gang that.
That was in it.
That's in another location, I think within California. Or,
okay.
It's been on, I mean.
How many seasons was Sons of Anarchy? How long has it been?
Seven, I think it got up
seven,
to. Seven
seasons,
right?
That's not bad. Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to watch TV shows now because they have only one season's available because of COVID. So I'm trying to avoid doing that, but it's also forcing me to rewatch old shows. Like I just binge-watched Modern Family again. And I honestly, some of the episodes I watched and I've seen it in a different light because it was, you know, time's gone by, but it's kind of comforting to watch a show that you've seen over again because you kind of know what you kind of know what's going to happen, but it's still really funny. If it's really good humor or just really good writing, it's still enjoyable. I definitely think it's hard to watch TV right now with everything stopping in one season.
There does seem to be a lot of that, right?
And I don't want to get committed to it because what if they don't film anymore? Like, what
I don't know. That's why I've been looking at the docuseries stuff and the different documentaries that are going to come out here. And
I mean, we have to wait for Last Kingdom. We have to wait for that.
There's still going to be a fifth season of that. I'm currently.
Yeah, they've already been filming since January.
Trying to finish up
season.
I think it's maybe on HBO, but I don't know, called Lady in the Dale. That's pretty cool. I can't wait to talk about, but I haven't finished watching it. So,
so we'll save that for what you're watching,
we'll save
right?
That.
We'll
I
save
think that's
that.
A pretty good one.
Yeah. But I think that for what you're watching, like there's a movie we watched with Steve Carell, which I thought was really good. And he played a campaign manager who goes to, where did he go to, Ohio or Idaho or Ohio? Where did he go, Ohio? I think you went to like Ohio or, no,
Ohio.
He went to Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
It was a small town in Wisconsin.
That's right.
And he sees a farmer on, at City Hall, and he's fighting for the town that he lives in because it's going to shit. And it's really good because I can't really say much because I'll spoil it, but it's really good. It's kind of dark humor. And who's the girl that's in Neighbors?
Yeah, Rose Byrne.
Rose Byrne,
kind of
yeah. She's his counterpart. She's a Republican
there,
counterpart.
Yeah.
And it's really great because it kind of does, it's supposed to be like during the time of before Donald Trump became president. They do use some of that in there, that Donald Trump and Hillary were going against each other to become president. So it's around that time, 2016-17, when the media was starting to manipulate people even more than it used to, and it started creating fake news and creating this story and narrative that people started to believe, and it was tearing people apart. It was making people greedy, and they, you know.
I just think it's just too, what was kind of depressing, honestly, about it is really how everything is run by a machine anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're so used to that around here. We can't stand those kind of politics, but to be honest, it kind of showed just how much, hey, even if it's in small, rural, wherever, whether it's Democrats, Republicans are fighting for every seat and fighting for every idea and just the amount of money.
And nothing is like
is
organic
invested
anymore.
In this and it's hard. Yeah. It's kind of,
it's really good. It's really good.
Yes.
I'll link the movie. I'm pretty sure it's on Hulu. So if you guys have Hulu, you guys can watch it. I'm going to look it up to see actually what it was called because, it's called, not Celestial Bodies. Is it Celestial Bodies?
No.
Oh, no. I'll find it. I'll find it in here. But I thought it was really good. And then there's obviously a show with Bryan Cranston called Your Honor. That's a really good show. I only watched the first 5 minutes of the first episode, but it's actually more than one season, so I would check that out. I think he plays a judge whose son gets into some trouble. And Bryan Cranston's kind of this dark character, similar to Breaking Bad, but he plays a person of power and not a teacher, a chemistry teacher. But yeah, those are a couple of shows you guys can watch. But I'd suggest maybe just trying to binge watch some shows that maybe you didn't get to finish. Like I might watch Parks and Rec next because it's just so funny and it's great. Even though you know everything that happens, it's kind of like comforting. And if you just want to escape.
Oh, and there's still always new things to pick up.
Yeah, there's some new shows.
Like, and I mean, just even on Parks and Rec, I mean, there are new things to always pick up on.
Oh.
On those shows and then
Altered Carbon, that's a good one.
Yeah,
right?
We watched some of that, a couple of seasons of that.
I think that has about 4 seasons, so that's a really good show.
And that's had some different actors and actresses in that.
Yeah.
It's not always had the same main characters or main actors in it.
And jumping off of that, similar, Cyberpunk is now being refunded. People are asking for their money back from that video game Cyberpunk, which is supposed to be kind of inspired or I think similar to that show Altered Carbon, where you can be anyone you want, and it's this interactive video game that you can also play with, you know, the VR goggles. But people were asking for the refunds because it was glitching, and people were buying them. You know, they were pre-ordering. You and I usually don't always pre-order games because of that, and also like you don't know if you like it or not. So.
Yeah,
I just don't think $80 is worth it.
With the amount of bugs that there are.
Yeah, Cyberpunk, if you guys bought it, ask for your money back because there was a really big battle about that.
Well, if you did not like it and you are on the previous generation of consoles, in other words, you're still on.
Yeah, they made it before that, right?
Or you're still on the Xbox One. No, it came out and was advertised for those consoles.
Yeah.
It just took 7 years or more for it to finally come out. They kept pushing it back and kept saying, no, we want this game to be good. We don't want to rush it.
Yeah,
and that's always
7 years is a long time.
Yeah, well, that's always kind of the argument or sometimes what you see in the gaming community is when they're excited about a game, they want it now. But anymore, I mean, know that masterpieces take a long time.
That's why they're called masterpieces.
I mean, really, I mean, some of these games anymore, especially the way they play, the interaction. And I think that's why you have a number of solid game players that like their PCs, because they can get the best graphics and things. And for Cyberpunk, I think it's shown better on those. So.
Well, and we did say that.
But yes, they are giving refunds.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of, again, people that complain, the amount of people that I think were anticipating this game and then sorely disappointed, because I've seen a number of people now post like, I bought it and then I went and bought this game and I'm so glad I bought it. And usually they're referencing either the new Assassin's Creed that they went out and bought, AC Valhalla.
We did buy that ahead of time.
I saw a number of people that posted and said, I'm so glad I went and bought Red Dead. I know it's been out for a while, but I haven't played it. and I'm glad I deleted Cyberpunk.
Yeah, because there are some games where you
which
know.
I'm disappointed yeah, to really see.
We were so excited to wait for it to come out. We didn't want to pre-order.
I told you, I think our rule is we need to make upgrades, otherwise I would not get that game based on what I had read and seen.
Yeah, I'm so glad we did our research. We dodged a bullet. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, and I don't even know if they're going to really release it again. I don't know. I mean,
it's still available. It's just they're giving you refunds, and especially those of you, like I said, that are on the...
Is it for all three, PC, PS?
Yeah, it's all across all platforms.
Xbox, okay. Yeah. So that's what's beautiful about it, because
it was a game that was advertised for the previous generation, mm-hmm. but when it was already... and put out there, it mm-hmm. was built and designed ultimately for the next generation.
Yeah.
So it's why there were a lot of refunds, because it's not compatible with the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox.
And not everyone can afford the PlayStation 5 right
they're
now.
They're not available too, or the new Xbox. They're getting more available, but again, yeah, I mean, another round of stimulus checks here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. More people are not really able to afford it this year, because I mean, if we didn't have the quarantine, I don't think it'd be a big of a deal. But last year, people were buying the new PS4, the new Xbox, and it was affordable. I mean, you could buy it, but
they gave you the perfect 600. PlayStation 5 was 600. There was the joke what people were spending.
How coincidental is that? Hey guys, fuck rent. Just go ahead and buy a.
But really, honestly, right? The number of people stuck at home. I mean,
I know, but like, you need to eat and like, you need to pay your bills.
No, when it comes to that, right?
I mean, you could always buy a PS5. It'll be there. It's not going anywhere. Just wait till it's $300.
Would you rather be the kid that lived in the home with food, or the kid that had the PlayStation 5 and no food?
For me, I'd rather have food. I can play with anything. You know, I mean, I was brought up in front of.
Well, and it's like they say, right? Kids rather be from a broken home than living in a broken home.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. I think either of them are shitty.
No, they're both. They all are. But again, you'd rather,
if you had to decide,
you'd rather
yeah.
not be.
No, of course not. Of course, you want everyone to be happy. But I think that, you know, I grew up around the TV. I didn't have video games. It was just me with my dolls. I had dolls and I had, you know, Legos, and I had all that other stuff, puzzles.
You didn't have the Nintendo?
I didn't have any video games. It was just me. I mean, I really wasn't into that stuff. I played my cousins. They had Game Boy and all that other stuff. They had Game Boy. I really didn't even have a computer until I was about 9, and that was when PC games were all kid. I mean, I was a kid. So I didn't really have the need for video games. I wasn't really into them. I liked arcade games, and I liked pinball, and I loved that kind of stuff.
How often were you going to run and do that? I mean,
dude, I used to go to Blockbuster and play video games there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. That was like, when we went to Blockbuster to get a movie, they had this section where you could try out games.
Yeah, eventually they did. You could start renting video games from.
Yeah, and you could play them before you bought them. And that was Blockbuster. That was like a game changer.
I will say that was a big, yeah, I mean,
free? You could just play, and your parents could go and browse, and they knew where you were.
They probably missed the boat, and that was somewhere they could have, those kind of businesses probably could have stayed a little bit more profitable or open. A little mm-hmm. bit longer, tapping into that kind of that rent the game type.
Yeah,
thing.
I mean, look, they could have done it like how Netflix did with movies. They could have done that with.
But
Blockbuster
now Netflix kind of has that, or there's GameFly, or there's similar services that are similar to what, Netflix
was doing.
Is and mm-hmm. now even some of the again, each console kind of has their own system that you can do the same thing. You can kind of rent and. Play.
I wonder, did GameStop ever do that?
No, they don't have that.
So you just have to buy it. So
they got some stations, I think, set up sometimes. Hmm. But normally it's the TVs and the games playing are in the background. And
Yeah, I mean, Best Buy is always a fun place to go and take a nap. Just FYI, they don't tell you to shoo. I've been there before where I've.
Oh no!
I've seen
ever
people
know anybody,
take naps in the chairs.
Did you ever know anybody that worked at Best Buy?
Mm-mm.
Oh, see, we had a Best Buy in our town, and I had friends that worked there. And Best Buy had a policy that as long as there was a customer in the store, the store could not close, and they could not ask that person to leave.
Why?
It was a store, but it was a corporate policy that as long as there was, and once in a great while, they would get somebody in the store that just probably, I think, was there to linger. Like, they didn't want to be out in the cold, or they weren't there to buy. And
maybe it's a safety thing. Maybe it was that.
But if they were there to buy something, I know they definitely, the store could not close.
I mean, it could be a good thing. Maybe there's people that don't want to go home to their screaming children or their screaming parents, and maybe it's cold outside. Maybe you want to take a nap. Maybe you just want to be somewhere besides your home, or you have nowhere to go. I mean, that's
kind of stores like that. I mean,
I've even seen Dunkin' Donuts do that, even for homeless people. They let them in and sleep there.
Restaurants, I see it in shows with pump the brakes. If you're going into this restaurant and you're the last two and they're about ready to leave, would you mind making two more?
Well, that's, yeah. But I mean, if there's someone in there that's like, I don't want to go home, can I just stay here for a little while? I mean, I've seen that with our Dunkin' Donuts. We had lived in a neighborhood where
they allow people to go in, they give them a coffee and, as long as, again, they
as long as you're quiet. And yeah, I've seen people do that, and that's especially during the colder months. I think that's really helpful. But I just remember that memory lane, like going and playing video games, and that was like so cool. I used to play Sega, and like, you know, I mean, I didn't really get into video games until I was a bit older, and I was at my cousin's with my cousins. They had video games. They had, you know, they had Mario Kart and Sega and like all those. And it was just a Game Boy. It was just a little handheld Game Boy, and a little cartridge. And
thanks to some grandparents. Yeah.
And I wonder if those are still out. I mean, I think those are like, people could still purchase those on Amazon. I'm sure people are selling their old games. Oh, there are plenty of refurbished
Segas. I've heard about definitely old Nintendo. Matter of fact, they actually sell the old remodeled kind of Super NES systems. Dreamcast. I don't know if anybody remembers, boy, mm-hmm. Dreamcast.
I remember briefly Dreamcast, out there. Yep.
Oh boy, that was going to be the new. That was going to be the revolutionary gaming system. That turned out not to be.
Yeah, why did that happen?
I forget who the maker was. It was a Japanese company. It was there to rival Sega. But then, you know, it was right there at the time when there was the first PlayStation, and then came PlayStation 2, and then came Xbox, and those two just completely, that was it. No more, and Dreamcast did not.
So they got bought, competition, that sucks.
And then that's kind of when Nintendo went a different route themselves with some of their gaming system, and then they kind of seemed to be geared towards the fun, you know, Paper Mario, the game solving, the Switch type.
Video games have come a long way. I mean, I remember even just playing like the games from like the 80s. I mean, you just see like the evolution of video games. And
we just brought it up in the last episode, right? Talking about, you know, the Last of Us, that especially now they seem to, pretty much on the regular, seem to make movies or TV series based on video games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had Ghost in the Shell. I think Ghost in the Shell, they had Silent Hill. Silent Hill was a video game.
Silent Hill was one of the first that I can remember.
I think it really was, and it was honestly
really good.
I thought it was just like the game.
Oh my golly, this is filmed and shot just like the video game.
Yeah, and that was what really made me happy, is that the other ones sucked.
They should never have made sequels. Should never have made
sequels. Yeah, they focus too much on the story and not like the actual visuals. Like the first one I liked the most because it was visually enticing. It was dark. It was creepy. It made you think.
I mean, even the way it was shot, it felt like you were there in a video game in the way it played.
Yeah, just like the ash coming down, and then like the guy with the fucking anvil head, and the nurses. The nurses freaked me out so much because they would be like, you can't touch them, because then they start like wiggling. It's like, oh, it was just.
I like
the storyline, but I love the place. I love Silent Hill, the place, more. You know, it was like magic. It's like dark magic. And also, it was kind of cultish. You know, it was kind of that, like, the message was all the same. And it felt like you were the outsider, you know, like it felt like you were the crazy one and they were just normal. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it was a Japanese video game. Japan has definitely revolutionized their video games, and they were definitely ahead of their time, more than American video games have. But The Last of Us, I feel like, could be like a foreign video game. I mean, I think it's very popular, not just here in America, but I think it could be popular in other countries.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it's just the storyline is amazing. And then Spider-Man, I did play the Spider-Man video game, but that's only on PlayStation. They don't have it for Xbox. But if you guys want to get Spider-Man, definitely get the Spider-Man video games. It's very, very interactive. You can change the level of if you want easy or hard, but it's very cool. Like it feels like you're in the movie, like in a Spider-Man movie.
There's so many different skins
he can wear, like different outfits. It still has the storyline. And then the kid looks kind of like younger. He looks more like he is a teenager rather than Tobey Maguire. But it's a very good video game. And then obviously we're playing right now. We're almost done with our Assassin's game. If you want to watch us, we actually stream on Twitch. So I'll put the information and the link in this video. We actually stream our Assassin's Valhalla game. But we have three Assassin's games. And I've loved all three so far. I think that some of them have what the others don't have. But I really do think
there are more. We have played this as in the three. We've played these last three iterations of this game. It's been around for a long time and had kind of multiple story arcs. Mm-hmm.
They have like 12 different games.
It's another
right?
one of those games that they made a movie out of. Mm-hmm.
The movie was okay.
The movie was okay.
It was kind of I'd say 5 out of 10. But I definitely love the game and I love how the graphics are, the spirituality of it, the gear, and it just has that familiarity to it when you play it, where you're like, okay, I'm a Viking, but it still feels the same as like the other ones that I've played with, like the level and the abilities and skills. So I wanted to share with you guys a new story I saw. I thought this was kind of interesting. If you guys like penguins, I love penguins. I like anything that's cute and fuzzy, and I love the story of, you know, how penguins survive, especially the ones where the males stay and like watch the eggs.
Morgan Freeman's talking about them. I mean, what can go wrong?
And that there are so many different types of penguins. There's not just the king penguin. There's not like the king penguin or the one that we normally see, the one with just the tuxedo. There are so many different types of penguins. And if you've been blessed to be able to, you know, read a Nat Geo or go to the zoo, or bigger zoos or conservatories where they have different types of penguins, then you'll know that there isn't just one kind. Some of them are in more warmer climates. Some of them are in colder climates. And for when I was a little bit younger, I think in my teens, I didn't know that there were like tropical penguins. Like there are penguins in warmer climates. I thought they were just all like in Antarctica or Alaska. So this is from the independent.co. And this is from, this is about a yellow penguin, which is sighted for the first time ever in the South Atlantic. So I'll show you guys, you can see him right there, the little yellow penguin. Look at him.
I don't know how they know it's a penguin.
Well, here's what they said. So this was a photographer, and this is why I love this story, because for me, that's my dream, is to be able to do more nature photography and be able to shoot film animals. I want to be able to film animals in their natural habitat. And I've seen Planet Earth. I've seen almost all of their episodes where they show the making of each episode and what these photographers and videographers go through, the journey to get to these places, the patience they have to film, and then all the way to like, you know, videographers that film in the oceans, and they have their special cameras and they film whales and, you know, animals you don't normally get to see. So this is from a photographer who's a wildlife photographer. He captured shots of the never before seen bird among thousands of black and white penguins in the South Atlantic Island. It says that Yvez Adams said, "I've never seen or heard of a yellow penguin before, but there were 120,000 birds on that beach, and this was the only yellow one." Hmm. Mr. Adams from Belgium was leading a two-month expedition in December of 2019 when they stopped in an island in the South Georgia to photograph a colony of at least 120,000 king penguins and spotted the bright plumage. He said they all looked normal except for this one. It was really something else. It was an incredibly unique experience. One of the birds looked really strange. When I looked closer, it was yellow. We all went crazy and we realized we dropped all the safety equipment and grabbed our cameras. We were so lucky that the bird landed right where we were. Our view wasn't blocked by a sea of massive animals. Normally, it was almost impossible to move on this beach because of them all. He said it was a leucistic penguin whose cells no longer create melanin, so its feathers become a yellow and creamy color. It was heaven that he landed by us. If it had been 50 meters away, we wouldn't have been able to get the show of a lifetime. Scientists suspect the sightings represent the discovery of a new class of a feather pigment. In 2012, a white penguin was spotted in Chinstrap penguin colony in Antarctica. Mm. I remember that. I remember seeing him.
I don't remember that.
That was on Nat Geo, that penguin. Its condition was thought to be from a genetic mutation that dilutes pigment in penguins' feathers. Researcher Daniel Thomas told the Smithsonian Insider, "Penguins use the yellow pigment to attract mates, and we strongly suspect that the yellow molecule is synthesized internally. It's distinct from any of the five known classes of avian plumage pigmentation and represents a new sixth class of feather pigment." After the sighting, Mr. Adams continued his expeditions for another 8 weeks, leaving him with thousands of photos to trawl through, which meant he released the photos only now. "I took thousands of photos during the time, especially as the time of year meant it went dark in the Antarctic," he said. So he had a lot of time. I mean, he obviously took that many photos knowing that the Antarctica sun is like out for a certain period of time.
Yeah, I just wonder.
A certain season of the year.
It seems to be pretty new. I just don't know how often they've come across, or, you know, like they said, the last year coming across a white one. I mean, we have.
Well, that was 2012 that they found the white one.
Okay, so yeah. 2012. So we know there are albino creatures out there. That are, you know, all white, lacking pigment, or humans that are lacking pigment. What I'd be curious to know is this yellow penguin a result of the penguin that potentially didn't have any pigment mating with another penguin and then producing this, or is this,
yeah, like did he mate with another one, or is it just like a fluke?
A potential that, you know, it's like hair on humans. I mean, anybody can have a redhead, yellow, you could be blonde, you could have brown, black. I mean, you could have a combination, whatever.
It's like having someone who has heterochondria, where you have like one green eye and one blue eye, and that's really rare. Sometimes you see people with that. I think it's kind of like that, where it's like one in a million or one in a thousand or whatever, where you don't really see that very often. But also, like what we were saying in the last video we did about the tiny little lizard. Remember they found that tiny little lizard? Is that
there's a reason penguins tend to be the color that they are. There's a reason why seals are the color that they are.
Yeah, for predators and stuff.
It's the defense mechanism against predators. I don't know what a yellow penguin would look like.
Honestly, what if the predators didn't see yellow?
I mean, they don't. Part of it's all based on, like, for sharks, it's kind of the shape and the way they reflect off.
How they move.
That's why, again, one theory.
The killer whales eat penguins.
Yeah, but some of the way that they hunt them, they don't. I mean, the way that they're. I mean, there's this group of orcas that. Matter of fact, that's how even they define how orcas hunt. And one way that certain groups of orcas hunt is that right? They go up and they splash, and they try to splash the seals off.
Wow, so they can jump and
Get them. Yeah.
They don't call her killer whales.
No, they don't come up underneath like a great white.
Yeah.
Does. That's, again, one theory that they think why sharks tend to attack humans is they mistake them.
For seals.
For seals.
Yeah, because they have the fins and the flipper. I mean, surfers are they're the main event.
Yeah, I mean,
they're
really,
like, oh shit, look, all these seals
sharks
out.
Sharks aren't known. I mean, they're known to attack humans, but they're not known to eat.
No, humans. They'll take a bite. And if they like the blood, they'll come for more. But that's mostly like those.
But that's because of the blood and not because of the taste of the flesh. They don't really care for that. Unlike, you know, alligators, something like that.
Oh, fuck yeah, they'll eat you. They're fucking cold-blooded. Because sharks are mammals. I mean, they're not cold-blooded. Like,
no, sharks are not mammals.
They give birth.
Sharks are not mammals.
Well, they're not fish, right?
No.
So they're kind of like...
Sharks are in the same family as rays.
Okay. Okay, so they're like... Oh, they are?
Yes, they have gills. Oh. They need water to breathe.
Correction corner! Correction corner. Well, they're not like cold-blooded, like in a way that lizards are, or alligators, or crocodiles. Where they,
no, they're just carnivores.
They want to eat you. Although, when I did go to New Orleans, I went on a swamp tour, and the guy who was hosting the swamp tour said that
there's actually very few.
They said alligators will avoid you if they can.
That want to eat a human.
Yeah.
Again, mountain lions, pumas, they are those animals that will definitely hunt and track and kill humans.
Oh, yeah. Well, they should.
I mean, they should.
Invading their
territory. I can't believe more animals don't do it. We are.
They do. I mean, a lot of those big game hunters are getting killed because the lions are all talking to each other. They're all talking to each other. I mean, that one guy, I mean, especially with the poachers, are starting to get attacked. You know, the animals are rising up now. The past 5 years, they've been attacking poachers because they know that they it's like, you keep coming here, you keep trying to kill us. Like, we know. Like, we're not going to let this happen anymore. And they know that people are invading their territory. I mean, if raccoons were any more vicious, we would actually be more terrified. And piggybacking off of that, you guys, in Chicago, even though there's all this snow going on, there are still rats existing. The rats are still around. And when that snow melts, get ready. Get ready for the cicadas and the rats.
Yeah, they're coming.
For springtime. Yeah, that's going to be a crazy, crazy springtime. I'm almost terrified to see what's under all of the snow. Once the snow starts.
You know what's under the snow? The rats and the cicadas. They're coming.
They're coming. And I did see actually a girl. She was walking her dog, and her dog went number two. And of course, the snow was so deep that the poop kind of like went into the snow, and she still picked it up.
Well, I'm surprised.
So whoever you are out there, cheers to you, because you still picked up after your dog.
Yeah, because the amount of yellow snow out there.
Oh God, the yellow
excessive.
Snow is. Yeah, you have to be sure to look around when you're walking, guys, because you do not want to step foot in that yellow snow. But the fact that she picked up after her dog, I mean, for me, I'm thinking in my head like, oh, it's gone, like. You know, like, it's gonna go away. It's gonna get melted away. But like, the fact that she picked
it up.
Well,
you know what's gonna be there when the snow melts.
And I think she knew that. I think she knew that. Like, just, and I think it was probably just a habit, a good habit, probably picking up after her dog. But it was just kind of funny seeing the dog like poop, and then the poop just like gone. It's like, oh, there it is. It's gone. It's not sitting on top of the snow. But yeah, I mean, I definitely want you guys to share with us more stories. Keep the emails going. I've actually been going through them. I'm trying to put some together that all kind of go in the same category. Some of them are kind of random, but I think we will do another episode where we just read emails from you guys. Matt says it's okay. So do random. It could be anything. It could be any thoughts you have. It could be questions you have. It can be pet photos, pet stories, something light, something dark, relationship stuff. Matt likes to read the relationship stuff. And if you guys want to check us out, we are on YouTube, we're on Anchor FM, we're on iHeartRadio. It's the Night Owl Chicago, Music, Art, and Life. And we are also going to be posting this on Facebook, but we'll be putting the edited version on YouTube and then we'll repost this video on our Facebook platform. But yeah, keep in touch with us, guys, and we want you guys to be safe and be healthy. Get vaccinated if you can, and wear a goddamn mask. I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
And you're listening to The Night Owl.